This is Made in Montana News on the Treasure State Radio Network. I'm Jay Scott. The group backing the ballot initiatives that were changed to open primaries and absolute majority rule in Montana raised roughly $1.1 million in the first quarter of 2024. 90% of that money came from two sources. Those two sources are a federal political action committee and a dark money group, both of whom made $500,000 donations to the Montanans for Election Reform, the group behind the two initiatives. The first initiative, CI-126, would create open primaries in the state. That means all candidates would be on the same ballot in the primary election. The four top vote-getters would move to the general election. CI-127 would require the winning candidate in a general election to receive more than 50% of the votes, an absolute majority. If candidates split the votes and no one gets more than 50%, there are a few mechanisms that can be implemented to determine a final winner. Which mechanism Montana implements, such as ranked choice voting, will be up to the state legislature. The chairman of the Montana Republican Party, Don Klatschmidt, said in a recent Missoulian op-ed that, quote, the Montana GOP opposes CI-126 in large part because the party is opposed to ranked choice voting. If successful, the change would pertain to all of Montana's major political offices, U.S. Senator, U.S. Representative, Governor, and Lieutenant Governor, also Auditor, Superintendent of Public Instruction, and more, and the state legislature. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has approved an 8-foot reduction in Flathead Lake's water levels this spring compared to the usual 10-foot reduction. Energy Keepers, which operates the Sillis Kasanka Quispe hydroelectric facility, requested the change as dry water conditions are continuing this year. The area experienced very dry conditions in 2020. The risk of flooding is minimal with the change, according to the company's Wednesday press release. Flathead Lake is projected to be in the 2888 to 2891 foot range by the end of May. A boat with mussels was intercepted at the inspection station near Dillon on Monday. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks reports a warden found mussels on a ski boat after the driver pulling the boat failed to stop at the Anaconda inspection station last week. FWP said in a media release that after the warden noticed some mussels on the boat, the driver returned to the inspection station where several more mussels were found. The boat was fully decontaminated and locked to the trailer. FWP reminds the public that by law, anyone transporting either motorized or non-motorized watercraft must stop at all open inspection stations they encounter to prevent the spread of aquatic invasion species in Montana. Quote, watercraft including paddleboards, kayaks, canoes, rafts, and pack rafts, non-residents and residents returning home must have their watercraft inspected before launching in Montana. Watercraft must also be drained of all water before transporting. According to the FWP, the boat en route to British Columbia from Michigan is the fourth mussel-fouled watercraft intercepted in Montana this season. A fifth boat was contaminated with mussels and was detected at the inspection station near Dillon on Monday. AIS can have devastating impacts on Montana waterways, according to the FWP. That includes non-native plants, animals, and pathogens that can cause harm to Montana's environment and economy. Montana State University will break ground this month on a new building, Gianforte Hall, that will house the Gianforte School of Computing, That's according to MSU in a news release. The three-story building was made possible by a $50 million gift from the Gianforte Family Foundation and is expected to open in 2026. Naming the building after the Gianforte family is controversial because the Board of Regents policy typically prohibits naming gifts for people employed by the state. However, the Regents said the policy allows for exceptions to gifts that merit recognition and for extenuating circumstances, and the $50 million donation was tied for the second largest in MSU history. The building will have two large classrooms and laboratories dedicated to robotics, cybersecurity, augmented and virtual reality, data science, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. There will also be video and audio production studios. The groundbreaking will take place on Wednesday, April 17th. The group behind a proposed ballot measure to enshrine abortion access in the state constitution has asked the Montana Supreme Court to clarify its order from earlier this week in the face of what it says are continued delays by the Secretary of State and Senate Republicans. Rafe Graybill, the attorney for Montanans Securing Reproductive Rights, filed a motion for supplemental relief with the Supreme Court at 8 a.m. Wednesday morning, saying that Secretary of State Christy Jacobson has still not provided the group a ballot petition form for Ballot Initiative 14, which the court ordered her to do immediately in Monday's order. The Supreme Court order says Ballot Initiative 14 does not need to go through a legislative committee review. Jacobson's interpretation is that the footnote which contained the order was dicta and not a binding order. Her spokesperson told the Montana Free Press earlier this week that that was incorrect and that its placement in a footnote instead of the body of the order makes no difference, citing a 1985 case precedent. Secretary of State Office spokesman Richie Melby said late Tuesday that Jacobson intends to comply with both the court order and with the subpoena Senate President Jason Ellsworth sent her on Tuesday, requesting copies of all materials tied to the initiative. He believes it still needs to go through an interim committee. Attorney Graybill's filing argues, since the footnote said it does not need to go through the committee review, statute says the next step is for Jacobson to immediately send the group its finalized ballot petition so it can start gathering signatures. He said the word immediately does not mean Jacobson can refrain from action for what is coming up on 48 hours since the court order on Monday. He also wrote that Ellsworth's subpoena makes it appear that he is, quote, intent on convening an interim committee to review C-14 and unnecessarily delay signature collection. He told the court that Jacobson's inaction and Ellsworth's statements and subpoena, quote, introduce unlawful ambiguity over whether the MSRR may begin signature collection, even if the secretary provides a finalized option. Graybill's final asking of the court is that it retain jurisdiction over the particular ballot issue through the signature collection process, including sanction and contempt powers, saying Knudsen's and Jacobson's actions are intent to delay the group's signature-gathering efforts. A wolf has killed a calf in Colorado, state wildlife officials said Wednesday, confirming the first livestock kill after 10 wolves were reintroduced in December. Colorado Parks and Wildlife confirmed after investigation that the wounds the cattle killed on Tuesday were consistent with a wolf kill. The agency did not say how many wolves were involved or if it was one of the recently released animals. In the past few years, a handful of wolves has also wandered down from Wyoming and killed livestock. The calf's owner can be compensated by the state for the animal's market value, up to $15,000. Ranchers say it's not enough. Colorado's reintroduction of wolves won in a 2020 ballot measure. Nearby Republican states, including Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana, refused to provide wolves to Colorado. Eventually, they got them from Oregon. Gray wolves killed some 800 domesticated animals in 10 states in 2022, according to a previous Associated Press review of depredation data from state and federal agencies. While the losses can impact individual ranchers, it's only a fraction of the industry at large. Only about 0.02% of herds in the affected states, according to the analysis. If you need to hear this report again, please check the podcast on our Treasure State Radio or KGRTDB webpages. Made in Montana News is podcast worldwide, with listeners in now 53 U.S. states and Canadian provinces, 3 Native American nations, and 33 countries on 6 continents. We also post expanded versions of our stories on Facebook. Made in Montana News is heard on the Treasure State Radio Network, including KMEH, 100.1 FM in Helena, Elkhorn Mountains Radio in Jefferson County, Homegrown Radio in Bozeman, King West Radio in Billings, Rescast Radio on the Fort Peck Reservation, BIVA Radio of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and Crow Res Radio of the Crow Nation. That's Made in Montana News. I'm Jay Scott. This is the Treasure State Radio Network.